Glory to you, God, whose power working in us is always doing more than we could ask for, even imagine. Amen. So to get ready for our worship bulletins on a Sunday, we look at a draft on Tuesday. So this past Tuesday, the drafts were sent, and Susan Marshall, who does our magnificent Sunday bulletin, said to me, for this first reading from 1 Samuel, do you want everything included that's in the parentheses? And the parentheses began after that sentence, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. And if you notice your bulletin, that's a big second chunk. And I wrote back, yes, it's the basis of my sermon. So in this first reading from Samuel, we hear a dialogue. We begin with hearing that Samuel hears his name, runs to Eli. Three times he says to Eli, well, what do you want? And Eli says, it's not me. And on the third time it dawns on Eli, aha, this must be God speaking to Samuel. Okay, Samuel, next time say, speak, Lord, your servant is listening. So the fourth time Samuel hears his name, and he says, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. And what God says next is not easy, because God talks about a situation that God is going to deal with. The situation is this. Eli is this elderly priest. He's losing his eyesight. He had two sons who were priests also. And these two sons took advantage of their situation. They ate the fat, which was precious after the sacrifices that were offered to God. And more importantly and sadly, they took advantage of vulnerable women who came to worship during those times of sacrifice. They took advantage of them. Eli never corrected, never scolded, never asked his sons to stop. And this is what God is referring to. I'm going to deal with Eli and his two sons. I'm going to do a new thing for Israel. And this is what Samuel hears. So the next morning, Eli says to Samuel, well, what did God say to you? And Samuel says, oh no. Okay, this is what God said to me. And it was a moment of absolute courage for this young boy to tell this respected elderly priest that God was going to deal with this priest and his family because of the wrong they had done. Eli did not deny it and said, the Lord needs to do what the Lord needs to do. So in this particular passage, we hear an attentive Samuel, a wise Eli, an Eli who had authority, and a Samuel who became obedient. In his obedience, we have an example of someone speaking truth to power. Truth to power. And that echoes in history. There are many examples of people speaking truth to power. But what struck me in this passage from Samuel is that Samuel was a young boy that was willing to do this, which reminded me of a young girl named Malala. Malala was a young girl in Pakistan who at the age of 14 began to speak truth to power. So Malala Yushafzai was the daughter of a man. Her dad was into women's rights and education for girls, which was not happening in Pakistan. And he had his own little chain of schools to help girls get educated. And so Malala was being educated, and Malala was hearing her dad speak about women's rights and education for girls, and would go with her dad to different meetings in different villages. And so she began also speaking out, and there was a BBC Urdai reporter who saw what was happening in the area of Swat, and now the Taliban was moving in and was beginning to close some of these schools. And this particular reporter thought it would be a way to communicate to the world this injustice if one of these girls could blog. And so a girl was asked. She was 18 years old, and her parents said no. Well, Malala stepped forward and said, I will write a diary about my experience of the Taliban in my valley of Swat in Pakistan. So she began writing, and she continued to speak out. And one day, she was on her bus on the way to school, and a man got on the bus and said, who is Malala? And Malala raises her hand, and this man shoots her three times. And one of the bullets enters her forehead and goes out through her chin. She eventually went to England for reconstructive surgery. So that was in 2012. In 2013, she's now well. She has regained her strength. And Jon Stewart on The Daily Show had her on for an interview. And Jon Stewart says to Malala, who was 14 when this happened, and now she's 15 when she's interviewed, 15 or 16, and he said, Malala, during this time when you were blogging and speaking out, did you know your life was in danger? And she said, some friends told me to Google my name. So she did. And on Google, she discovers the Taliban has her on a hit list. So at night, she says to herself, Malala, your life is in danger. What do you think you should do? So Malala is engaging in her own mind how to handle what she's hearing. And so Malala says to herself, well, if a man comes into my room, I could hit him with a shoe. And then she says, no. If I hit him with a shoe, then I am no different than he. I do not want to treat others this way, with cruelty. I want to fight with peace and with education. In fact, I will tell this man, I think your kids should be educated too. Now do what you want with me. This is what she said to Jon Stewart. So she gave evidence of a nonviolent way of response and how she would speak truth to power. Jon Stewart was speechless. And he said, you know, your dad is sitting backstage. You are the most amazing young girl I have ever met. Can I adopt you? So here we have an example of someone who spoke truth to power, like Samuel. Tomorrow we celebrate Martin Luther King Jr., who began a journey he hadn't, like Samuel or Malala, planned on. But it became something that he had to do because of the truth in his heart. So his journey of nonviolent protest began after the Montgomery bus boycott. So 2 years later, he's now into being a civil rights leader. And he, during the course of all these years, until his assassination in 1968, he is in jail 30 times. He is almost fatally stabbed. His house is dynamited. But on a particular night in 1957, 2 years into this sense of call, of hearing God, he gets a phone call. And it's a terrible phone call. It's another death threat. But the visuals are so disturbing, he falls to his kitchen floor and Martin Luther King starts crying. And crying and crying. And then he hears a voice. Stand up. Stand up, Martin, for justice. You will never be alone. Never alone. And Martin Luther King stood up. And 11 more years continued, day after day. Where are we in our journey? Because the voice of God continues to speak to each of us day after day. My word to you today, are you available? Are you listening? What do you do when you hear an inspiration? Now, Martin Luther King and Malala and Samuel were dealing with oppressors and oppression. And believe it or not, so are we. And the first place we need to look is within ourselves. When Martin Luther King Jr. said, "Free at last, free at last," he knew the hope to which he was called. And he knew the source of his strength and where his freedom was coming from. And that was in the voice of Jesus Christ saying, "You are never alone." So within you, you might recognize an area that you've ignored or is oppressing you. Freedom starts within, so you can speak truth to power. And so look within. Is there an area of unforgiveness? Is it the word should? The word should always stops you from doing what you really want to do. So on this particular day, with this particular first reading, may you believe that God is speaking to you. Are you available? Can you let go and open your heart to hear? And if in your darkest moments you start to cry, know that God is deeper still and saying to you, "You are never alone. I need you to get up and to be love in this world for the sake of healing and wholeness." Amen.